in Proverbs chapter 5 this evening. Proverbs chapter 5, reading the first 14 verses. We're titling the message this evening, The Forbidden Woman, and next week we'll probably title it The Wife of Thy Youth, and we'll be in verses 15 through 23 next week. Notice as we come here to this passage, beginning in verse 1, I want to keep this section together. Then next week, keep verse 15 through 23 together. Verse 1, My son, attend unto wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined thine ear to them that instruct me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Dear God, we come to thee this evening. We thank you for the privilege to be able to come into thy house with thy people, Lord, and sing the songs of Zion, and Lord, look into thy word. Lord, we pray this evening that you would teach us, that you'd guide us, that you'd lead us in the ways of righteousness. Lord, not that we just can be knowledgeable, but that we can be obedient. And Lord, we just thank you for this day. We ask your blessings upon the reading of thy holy scripture. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week we closed out chapter 4, verse 23 through 27. And we titled that section, Keep Thy Heart. And we spent a lot of time in that part, showing the importance of guarding our heart, protecting our heart. Now this evening we come, first of all, to the bad woman or the adulterous woman. And then next week we'll be looking at the relationship between a husband and a wife. But as we come here, notice how he begins, and this is a warning against sexual immorality. Now we see this several times in the book of Proverbs as well as in many places throughout the scripture. For instance, I'll just give you a list, just a strange woman of verse 3. She's mentioned in chapter 7, in chapter 6, we'll read some of these, mentioned again in chapter 22, verse 14, then in chapter 23, verses 19 and 33, and then again in chapter 27. We've already covered this subject in chapter 2, verses 16 through 22. We titled that section, The Evil Man and the Strange Woman. And so this is not an isolated subject in the Bible, nor in the book of Proverbs. And so this is warning against sexual immorality. And it includes all of us, whether young or old, male or female. But we find that young men are targeted here, especially in the book of Proverbs. That includes all of us, but especially young men. And notice he says in verse 1, My son, attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. And then, again, toward the end of this section that we've chosen tonight, he says here in verse, coming down to verse 12, and it says here, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instruct me. And so our section tonight begins with believing and receiving the truth and obeying it, and it ends with it as well. And in between, we have the subject again of the strange woman. We know that today, in a time in which we live, that pornography is rampant in our society. I have read that probably two-thirds of men visit porn sites on the internet. And we can carry around in our pockets today access to this material that will destroy our soul and our body. I want you to listen to Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 through 30. And I use this passage in reference to pornography, as it can include pornography. It says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So whether it's looking at somebody individually or looking, you know, in magazines or looking at movies or whatever, that this would include that. But he goes on to say, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And that's where the adulterer and fornicator goes, is hell. And he says, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. The point is do whatever it takes to keep from committing this sin. And he's not really literally talking about plucking out your eye, but he's talking about the extreme of this. And that's what we see in our text here tonight. And pornography is a sexual sin of the mind and of the heart. And it will lead to that sin of the body as well. All through the scriptures, we are told not to look upon the nakedness of another person, whether it be a male or whether it be a female. So now notice, in our text here, he begins in verse 1 and 2, and we have covered this over and over, and we'll continue to cover it, about the wisdom of God, biblical wisdom. He starts off with, my son, in other words, a young man. Again, a father pleads with his son to listen and to pay attention. This case, Solomon and his son. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Again, we saw this in chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. The majority of chapter 2. In chapter 3, verses 13 through 20. And then again, in chapter 4, especially in verse 20 through 22, we find that it would give life and health, you know, to us. We know that many turn a deaf ear to the truth. Some will even listen to it, but they'll walk off and do exactly what they want to do. And he said in verse 2 that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Keep biblical knowledge. As in chapter 6, in verse 20 through 23, I'm going to come back and read some other verse here in just a moment. But he says, my son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. And then he says, for the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the ways of life. And then, verse 24, he says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. In other words, destroy your physical and spiritual life. Now, if God has a lot to say about this, we need to say a lot about it, and we have to cover it as we come to these verses. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. You don't have to go to porn sites anymore, from what people tell me with the regular programming on television. There's immorality, and there's also nudity, whether it be male or female, a lot of nudity on television now. When we went through our series on in Galatians in chapter 5, we dealt with the four sexual sins in that chapter, one message titled Sexual Sins, and that is adultery, and these, by the way, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. And again, according to a 2010 survey, that it says 15% of all websites are pornographic in nature. 25% of daily searches are for pornography. 20% of men are addicted. 17% of women are addicted. 35% of ministers are addicted. 47% of Christians say it's in their home. That was in 2010. And again, we don't have to go very far to see the issue of fornication. The Greek word, P-O-R-N-E-A, is where we get pornography from. And fornication is a broad term covering all sexual sins. And those who commit this, the Bible's clear that they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And I mean, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, 10, 11, Galatians 5, Ephesians 5, Colossians chapter 3, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, and many other places. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice with me now as we come to verse 3. In verse 3, I want to read through these and make some comments and then give you some other verses. And by the way, let me just give you the verses now again, not just the strange woman, but the bad woman, the woman that's alluring the young man. Chapter 2, verses 16 through 22. Again, we covered that section weeks ago. We titled that The Evil Man and the Strange Woman. Then we see it again in chapter 6, and verse 24 through 29. I just read that a moment ago. All of chapter 7. All of chapter 7 even speaks to the attire of an harlot. It speaks of, calls her a strange woman, alluring a young man, and the end again is hell and death. We see it again in chapter 22, verse 14, chapter 23, and in verse 33. So in verse 3, he says here, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. What we find here, again, speaking about the young man being lured by the strange woman. The word strange here is a woman who is not thy wife. Basically what it means. And it is a term that can include a harlot or a loose woman or even a foreign woman. But it mainly means a woman who is not thy wife, one who is outside the circle of a man's proper relationship, again, such as a harlot or adulteress and so forth. And notice it says in verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman, lips, we find it has to do with words. We see this again in chapter 2 and chapter 7. And her lips, her voice, her speech are used to deceive and not to speak truth, as in Proverbs 8 and verse 7. And it says, and for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb. In other words, that which is desirable, that which is pleasing, appealing, as honey is sweet to the taste. She comes forth with that. Now, this expression, you don't have to turn there, but this expression is used in Song of Solomon in reference to a husband and wife. She uses the word spouse and says, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and the milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments are like the smell of Lebanon. In other words, it's used there in a proper way, in a relationship between a husband and a wife. And so here we find that her lips are sweet, they're desirable, as honey is sweet to the taste. And also in her mouth is smoother than oil. That is, it's charming, alluring. And David in Psalms 55 verse 21 uses a very similar expression. And he used it of his treacherous friend who spoke smooth words, but it says that war was in his heart, and also a drawn swords. In other words, he's deceiving, trying to deceive him with his words. And that's the thought here. She is smoother than oil. Notice now, as we come to verse 4, and it says, and her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Notice this, verse 4 starts out with the word but. Here's the contrast. Her end. Again, write down chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. It's the death of the body and the soul eventually. And then, and the word bitter. Her end is bitter as wormwood. Ecclesiastes 7:26. It means it's not sweet, it's not pleasant. That's the end. She comes with honey and smooth words, and the end of it is death and hell. Wormwood here, the word is used a couple of places, like in Revelation 8 and verse 11, is poison from the root word meaning curse. And wormwood was a plant that grows in Palestine that is extremely poisonous and bitter. And that's the bad woman here that's trying to lure someone else. In verse 5, her feet go down to death and her steps take hold on hell. This ought to be enough to wake us up, should it not? Amen. And say that there's something really bad here. And we see death and hell. First the body and then the damnation of the soul. And you've heard me say when we preached in chapter 2 and dealt with that in our article on fornication, it destroys someone spiritually, physically, and emotionally. It destroys them. It hardens them. It causes them to reject the truths of God's word. They eventually become a reprobate. Every time fornication, adultery, you know. Listen, we don't have to go to the subject of sodomy. The fornicator and adulterer will end up in hell. Notice in verse 6, and it said, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Her ways, they're unstable. You can't trust her. It's like the evil man in chapter 6. They cannot be trusted. This is an evil woman, just out for a good time and pleasure and to destroy someone else. And we come to verse 7, And it says, he says, "Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." Depart not from the words of my mouth. The children here obviously are the young men in general who are most likely to be deceived and led away. The warning is here's to young men. It will work with old men, but the emphasis is upon the son. And notice in verse 8, you see, here as we come to verse 8, he says, "Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house." Notice that. Don't even come near the house, much less have her in your house or you going in her house. Don't even go near the house. Avoid the slightest temptation. In other words, in Matthew 5 and verse 28, we read a moment ago, if a look leads to sin, don't get close enough to looks so that you won't be lusting is the point here. This is severe warning. This is as much warning as to the sodomite or the murderer or the thief or the liar or anyone else. It's very serious and sobering. Notice he says in verse 9, he says, "Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel." We honor in years, reputation and youth. In other words, you'll destroy your reputation, you'll destroy your youth. And the youth is, most will say, is the best years that we have. A lot of vitality and energy and strength. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 3, Solomon's mother says, "Give not thy strength unto women." And that's, well, we're especially bad women here. And so sexual sins have destroyed many kings. Who do we think we are? David was one of the most spiritual men in the Bible, and he was taken down by this sin. Samson was the most strongest man in the Bible, and he was taken down by sexual sins. Solomon was the most smartest man and most intelligent man. He was taken down by sexual sins, and who do we think we are? Stick out our little puny chest and say, "I can take it." Well, you're destroying your own selves, but let's just say if you think you're tough and whatever, you're destroying hearts of other people that are around you. See, that's the wickedness, you know, of this sin. Use the word cruel here, referring to youthful years being destroyed by lust and uncleanness. Notice in verse 10, Let strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. In other words, it can take you to the cleaners also. It can take your wealth as well as your health and your soul and everything else. And he says in verse 11, and thou mourn at the last, this is the result of this sin, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. I mean, this is a sin, again, we've spoken many times, will destroy the soul of a young man or an old man or anyone in between. But in the case here, he's speaking to young men. Luke 15 and verse 13, I believe it is, the prodigal son. You remember what he did and how he wasted his money and how he came back to his father's house. And then we find in verse 11, it says, "And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed." And in verse 12, "And say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof." If a young man or young woman won't listen to these truths, then they hate knowledge and they hate the Word of God. Now notice with me as we come to verse 13. Now I'm going to get through these and I got some other passages I want to give to you. And he says in verse 13, "And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that are instruct me." Well, who is the voice of my teachers in the context? Well, it would be their parents, their pastor, the aged men and the aged women that are mentioned in Titus chapter 2. That's who it would be. And in verse 14, he said, I was almost in all evil. In other words, he's saying here, I almost became an evil man and involved in all kinds of sins. And he says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Notice this evil has caused the individual to commit other sins before all and brought and saying it brought him to an utter ruin. Well, let's consider a few other thoughts here with this. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I want you to keep in mind this evening that Joseph, in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, verses 7 through 12, that when he was propositioned with this sin, that he fled. He absolutely fled. He didn't hang around some young lady's house, or in that case, Potiphar's wife. He fled and he ran away from it. And he said, I do not want to sin against my God. And that's who the sin is really against. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, flee youthful lust and follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Youthful lust. That's mentioned again in Titus 2 verses 6 through 8. The young man is addressed there. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17, the young man is addressed again. And in that case, the young men are overcomers, as the fathers and others are. In Ecclesiastes 11, verses 9 and 10, and chapter 12, and verse 1, he speaks of the youth and their creator and their walk with God and their accountability to God Almighty. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, reading in verse, let's begin in verse 13. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will raise up us by his own power. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? Have you ever really thought that through? You ever really thought about the true result of this? He said, for two, saith he, shall be one flesh, but he that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18, flee fornication. That's what Joseph did. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. It destroys him. And he said in verse 19, and what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And I want to read in chapter 7 in verse 1. But think about the severity of the passages we just read. And so coming to chapter 7 and in verse 1, we have these words. And he said, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. You can read the rest of the chapter this evening or tomorrow. You know what this means? Not touch a woman. It's not talking about a handshake or whatever, but it's talking about touching a woman in a casual or a sexual way, even to the point of holding hands and things of that nature. He says that it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Again, in a casual, sexual, or a carnal way, God says not to do it. And this is why they should never be alone. Now let's go to one other passage. One other passage, and notice with me in the book of Psalms and 119. Psalms 119, I want to read two verses from this psalm. Now, we live in a time in the world that Satan has convinced most people of the dating game. Do you know that you don't find boyfriend and girlfriends in the Bible? How many knew that? You don't find it. In the Bible, we use the word courtship with marriage in view, and the parents on both sides completely involved. But in the world, headed up by Satan and led by Satan, there's boyfriends and girlfriends with no commitments, no marriage. You know, they're just hanging out together. They're boyfriends, girls. You don't see that in the Bible. When you study the subject, I'm going to come back probably Sunday morning and talk about this, and then again next Wednesday night. When you study the subject of betrothal, it was as if they were married. We got another reason I held up the article, 2006. It's as if they were married, but they never lived together until they actually became married, but they were sometimes even called husband and wife. In other words, they had committed themselves in the presence of the parents that they were going to get married one day. We wrote an article and preached a sermon 1997 on the subject of courtship. And when you talk about courtship, something here I want to mention, one of these. Talk about courtship. It is the practice that we really find in the Bible. I realize some go to extremes with that. But in Genesis 24, when Abraham wanted a son, or wanted a wife or a bride for his son Isaac, the first thing he did is consulted God. That's the first thing that he did. And you'll read that in several verses. The second thing that happened is that the parents of the young lady was consulted. That was first. And then the third thing, the young lady, Rebekah, was able to make the final choice as to whether she wanted to marry Isaac. We're not talking about an arranged marriage. She had the final say-so. But it started with God, and then it came to the two parents of the young man or the young woman, and then, last of all, the decision was left into the hands, in that case, of the young lady. Even Jacob, when he went to find a wife, he went to Rachel's father. Did he not? He did not start courting and dating and hanging out with Rachel. And then in Genesis 34, Jacob's daughter, Dinah, she went out on her own. And what happened? A curse came. And even in Ruth 4 and verse 7, Boaz's first business when he come to Ruth was to secure betrothal, which involved gaining the favor from a near kinsman. He desired to obey God in the matter of marriage. Ruth was under orders to go to Boaz, not to date. And I put in this article, Boaz never even kissed Ruth before marriage. One other thing I want to mention to you before we read here and close. In 1995, and I'm just going to read this because I put it in the article. In 1995, I made two trips to the mission field in Belize, September and, I think it's February and September. Spent 20 days down there. That's in Central America with the Maya Indians. In one of the villages in which I preached, they had the following custom. If a young man saw a young lady he wanted to marry, he would first go to his father and discuss the matter. Then his father would go to the young lady's father and discuss it with him. In the village, this practice is called engaging. The young man's father is allowed to engage the young lady's father three or four times. If the young lady's father agreed to the courtship, it was then up to the young lady for the final answer. There is no dating as we do here in America. That's the proper way. And anything else is out of hell. And anything else is led by Satan. Anything besides this, Satan has influenced the individual to go the wrong way and not listen to biblical truth. Can I get an amen? 1 Peter 1:15, be holy, for I am holy. Romans 12:1, present your body as a living sacrifice. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth. Romans 12:17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That's in the article of courtship that we wrote in 1997. All right, we're closing here. In Psalms 119, verses 9 and in verse 105. It said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Here it is, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. That's the only way that a young man or an old man or anyone, a young woman or old woman, can cleanse their way. Now notice with me in verse 105. We find here in this passage, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My point here this evening is that there is no way in Scripture that a God allows boyfriends and girlfriends to hang out and be in each other's homes and things of that nature. We find the subject of betrothal. We find the subject of commitment. If somebody wants a woman or a young man, it was to go through the proper procedures, and then God's blessings would be upon that. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for this day, for this time, for Your love and Your mercy to us. Lord, help us to believe Your word. We live in a society that is flipped upside down, that has no concern for truth and righteousness. But Lord, help us to believe it and obey it, and help us to preach it, help to stand for it. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.